In the matter of forgiveness that we've been talking about, we have to deal with what we do with the memories, what we do with the hurt, what we do with some of the scars that are left sometimes when something is done to us or when we suffer in some way. How do we handle all of that? We said in the last part of this session that forgiveness is an act of the will. Forgiveness is not something based on my feelings. But the feelings are still there, aren't they? I still feel that that person was not fair. Now, what do I do with those feelings? How do I forget them? How do I put them aside? Is there any way to do that? Do I reserve forgiveness until I forget everything? No, we've already said forgiveness must be given immediately, and it must be given as an act of the will in obedience to the command of God. We are to forgive. But there are the residual feelings. They're still there. How do I get over those? Well, let me give you two or three suggestions. First of all, it will probably not be possible to forget immediately. The reason is, we're human. The past is very real. That experience is very real. The hurt might be very vivid. We might still be able to feel emotionally some of the transaction that went on in that offense. And because we are human, those memories are there. You see, God has given us a good memory. We can't just wipe it out. We can't just rub it off like we would something on a chalkboard. It's there. So it may not be possible to forget it right away. That's the first thing to remember. Don't feel guilty that you still remember. That's part of the problem. People feel, well, if I've forgiven, why does this keep coming back? Well, because we're human. Now, we have to know what to do with it when it comes back. So the first step is, don't feel guilty that the memory's still there. Here are three suggestions on how to take care of that memory. One, don't brood over that offense. What do I mean by that? Every time you remember it, cover it with a forgiving spirit each time. When it comes to your mind, just say, I have forgiven that person. Lord, I have forgiven. And you cover it with a forgiving spirit. And over a period of time, that memory lessens in its intensity. I remember talking to one man who had been a pastor. And he told me about several incidents. He took about 45 minutes to tell me about several incidents that had taken place in his life. How he had started a church, and then after a period of time, he had had difficulty in relationships and they had asked him to leave. And as he finished telling me about that one, he'd say, but I don't hold it against them. And then he told me about another one, the same thing. And then he would say, but I don't hold it against them. And he went through three situations like that. And one of them had happened 12 years before. And here he was now, reviewing, bringing it back up, over, in detail. And it was obvious that he had done this a number of times because he had not forgotten any of the details. He had been brooding over this. And he said, now, when he finished, he said, now, what can you tell me? And I said, do you want me to speak honestly with you? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, my friend, you are full of an unforgiving spirit. You are full of bitterness and resentment. Here you are 12 years later, recounting these incidents to me as though they happened this morning. You have not put them out of your mind. You have brooded over them. And so, number one, don't brood over that offense. Number two, don't raise the issue again to that person. If you have forgiven, don't bring it up to them again. You know, it's so easy. If somebody offends us and we forgive them, and then something comes up and we say, well, yes, and you know I've forgiven you, but boy, I hope you understand how hard that was. That's bringing it back up to them again. That's making them feel like it really hasn't been taken care of. don't raise the issue again. Isaiah 43:25 tells us about the Lord, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now, we can't say that in the same way, because we do remember. But we don't have to bring it up to that person again. We don't raise that issue again to that person. And then third, don't share that offense with a third party indiscriminately. Now, note that word, indiscriminately. There may be someone with whom you have a relationship, a prayer relationship, a spiritual relationship, where you may want to discuss it for the sake of getting some help regarding what you should do, what your attitude should be. That would be something different. You're looking for counsel. You're looking for help on how to handle an offense. I'm talking about indiscriminate sharing, talking about it casually or carelessly with somebody else, because that just propagates it and perpetuates it even further. So you don't brood over the offense. You don't raise it again to the individual that offended you once you've extended forgiveness. And third, you don't share it indiscriminately with someone else. And this is how, in the process of forgiveness, we're able to slowly but very surely take care of the memories so that they become less intense and they no longer hurt and the wounds are no longer vivid. That they begin to heal as we extend forgiveness. In our minds, each time that situation comes up, we cover it with a spirit of forgiveness. So we're to forgive. God says that's His desire. And it's imperative that we do that if we are going to experience the reality of terminating conflict in interpersonal relationship. Now, finally, what do we do after all this is done? After we've dealt with conflict in this way, what's the final step? And I like this one. We need to celebrate. We need to celebrate this new biblical relationship, because every time we work through a conflict, we move into a new area, a deeper area of relationship. And so we need to celebrate that. We need to thank God for what He's done. Thank Him for the fact that He's worked in both of our hearts to bring us together and let us experience the reality of His love again and to experience what it is to be reconciled in the Lord. And you see, we need to celebrate because what we've done brings glory to God. Because it's doing what He's asked us to do. It's using the resources that He's given us, the grace that He's made available. And as we do that, God is glorified. And we need to celebrate because this is another step in bringing glory to God, to be willing to work toward reconciliation when there is conflict in a relationship. Not only that, we need to celebrate because we've learned a new level of love in our relationship. Some of 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 has become more real to us. Maybe there's been more patience or more kindness, or maybe we've been more unselfish in the way we've worked toward one another. And so both of us have learned new depths of the love of God in our lives, and that's a cause for celebration. So take yourselves out for a pizza, or go get an ice cream soda somewhere, or do something to celebrate and make this real in your lives. And celebrate because it has brought about mutual growth and development in you as individuals and in your relationship. That's what it means in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish or encourage one another in all wisdom. That you've learned to do that more effectively, to share the word and to help one another to responsible behavior before God. Celebrate. Celebrate what God has done in your life. Well, in this seminar, we've tried to cover some basic principles, some basic ideas. They'll have to be worked out in your experience because they are principles. And we haven't tried to cover every kind of situation, every contingency. But I pray that as you listened to these and as you consider them in the future and the notes that you've taken, that you will ask God to help you learn how to put into practice in your relationships these important principles that we've been looking at, so that you and I might be freed more and more to be who God wants us to be and to function as God wants us to function. Thank you, and the Lord bless you richly.